Okay, so I want to continue in the book of James. We're talking about being a genuine disciple, And so last week what we talked about, well, we over the last few weeks we've been talking about the trial. How many have been helped? How we've been dealing with things and the perspective on a trial or a battle or things that we go through. But what we've really established, let me just say it in a phrase, that it's not about just getting out of the trial, but it's more about what we get out of the trial. Does that make sense? It's not so much about just getting out of this trial that you're in. It's about what you get out of the trial that you're in. And I want to say something to you today, is that unless God does something in your life, you are not going to get much out of that trial. Because there are many people today in different places in the world going through different trials. Many people, they're going through different trials, but they're not getting anything out of that trial. Just because you're in the trial, it doesn't mean that you're going to go through the trial and come out better. For you to come out better, you're going to need something in the trial. How many want to come out better out of their trials? We're going to see what we need. James 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your anointing. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would move supernaturally in this place. Father, I pray that you would meet with men and women in this place. Father, especially those that are in the trials of their life. Father, they're in that portion of their walk where they really need you right now. Father, that you would be close to them, that you would surround them. Father, that you would be with them, that they would not be alone in the midst of this trial. Father, I pray that you would help us, communicate with us more than just words, but let it be of your spirit. And God's people said, amen. I want to say to you today is that if you are going to go through a trial, come out the other side of a trial better than you went in, you're going to need wisdom. You're going to need wisdom. And the Bible says here, it says, if any of you lack wisdom. Now, how many know that none of us know everything? How many know we don't know everything? How many of you know that you don't know everything? It's terrible when you meet someone who thinks they know everything and know it all. It's terrible. You're unteachable. When you see people that are just unteachable, unteachable people are very difficult, very, very difficult. Spiritually unteachable people, they pretend like they listen, but they don't listen. But the Bible, when he's speaking about this, what he's showing us is that it's not so much that there's things I don't know, so I need to ask God for wisdom. And that's how I always used to read this. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. There's things I don't know, so let me ask God. But I want to say to you, there is a difference between knowledge and wisdom. There is a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Let me illustrate a little bit of the difference between knowledge and wisdom. You can know something. I could show you a car and you could know that that's a steering wheel and that's the accelerator and that's the brake and that's the clutch and that's the gear stick and that's the indicator. You can know those things. I can teach you those things very quickly. You could sit in my car right now and within a few seconds I could teach you all of those things. But how many know that don't mean you can drive? You can know something, but that don't mean that you know you actually can do it. And so what I'm trying to illustrate, there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. I always use this illustration when I speak to people. People are like, yeah, knowledge is power. Knowledge. Do you preach knowledge in your church? I said, knowledge is not power. Knowledge can help you have power. Just in case you're one of those that thinks knowledge is power. People that smoke, on the cigarette box, it says smoking kills. The people that are smoking know that it kills. That knowledge don't help them to stop. They don't help them to stop. I can believe it now. You know, I used to smoke before I got saved. Now, the smoking kills is bigger than the logo of the cigarette. Like, we could preach a whole sermon on that. Like, you see it. They can actually tell you. Listen, when the devil gets you, he could even tell you, I've got you, and you would still be God. See, really, the difference between knowledge and wisdom is like this: theory and practice. Theory and practice. You can know something in your head, but I can know how to hold a fire hose and eject the water on the fire. I can know, but I've never been in a fire where, I actually been in a fire in my own house, but I've never been in a fire, putting a fire out and felt the flame and felt the jet and felt these things. It's the difference. It's like head and heart. Head and heart. See, you know what? Sometimes we know a lot. That means you. So if you imagine, the more you knew, your brain is big. So your brain is big, 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 big. And so those of you that know a lot, your brain is massive, a massive brain. But what about your heart? Do you know the saddest thing is some of us, we have big brains and small hearts. Do you know what that means? Is that we know a lot, but we don't love much. That's what the Pharisees were. The Pharisees were those that knew loads. And Jesus healed a guy on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees knew. Jesus healed a guy. Listen, catch this. Don't lose this. Because the longer you stay here, the more you're going to know. The bigger your brain is getting. But my prayer is that your brain is not just getting big, but your heart will get big. I pray that every week as you come into the house of God and you hear the preaching of God, your heart is enlarging. I spoke to the ministers yesterday, the ushers, the altar workers, the welcome team. And I said to these guys, listen, we need to pray for God to enlarge our hearts. Because until God enlarges our hearts, our ministries will not get any bigger. There's some pastors. You know why the church is small? Because the heart is small. The heart is small. And this is why I constantly pray. I say, God, enlarge my heart. When I start to feel, you know what? These people are wearing me down. I'm getting frustrated. How can I ask God for more? How can I ask God for more? These guys, man. These guys. These waste men. These guys. No disciples here. Listen. God has taught me, don't be talking like that about those guys. And then you're asking me for more guys to get saved. No, use the guys you've got. Build them up. See, what we need is our heart to be enlarged. This is the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge and wisdom. But this text is not really talking about this. The text is not talking about this. And do you know how you understand what a text is? Let me give you some insight here. Do you know how to understand what the Bible is saying? Is to read it in context. What that means is, what was before it? Before we got to this, before we got to verse 5, where it says that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and he will receive it. What did it say in verse? We've already been through it. In verse 2, it says, my beloved brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But he says, but let patience have its complete work, that you may be found complete and perfect, lacking nothing. What has he been talking about? Trials. So when the Bible speaks to us, when James gets to verse 5 and he says, if any of you lack wisdom, what is he talking about? He's talking about when you lack wisdom in a trial. He's talking about when you're going through those dark seasons, when you're going through those difficult roads, when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, the Bible is saying that is when you need to ask God for wisdom. It's not just saying, oh, randomly getting up every day, make me wise, make me wise, make me wise, make me wise. I want to be wise, I want to be wise. Like you want to go on a game show. No, this is for trials. See, knowing what to do in a trial, you need wisdom. Knowing what to do in a trial, you're going to need wisdom. Look at your neighbor and say, you need wisdom. You're going to, yeah, you need wisdom. You know, sometimes you can know what to do, but then when you're in a trial, it's like you don't know what to do. Have you ever advised somebody else when they're going through something and it was so easy to give them the advice? It's like, yeah, why didn't you just do that? And you're looking at them like, come on, man, you should know that by now. You ever done that? Because listen, you got knowledge, but we won't know until that knowledge is wisdom, until you're in your trial. I've learned that. Hey, giving people advice. People can give people advice. I've seen people give people advice about all different areas of life. People could talk about parenting. Oh, I would do. You ain't got no kids telling people, I would do this to them. If they were my kids, let's wait and see. I see a guy, and a young guy had kids. He's married. He had kids. Two kids. And he came up to me and said, oh, this is so hard. I said, how do you think those single mothers are doing it? How do you think? Listen, there's some people, you get married, you have kids, you're like, oh, I'm so tired. It's so hard. How do you think these single parents are doing it? Anyway, I don't even know why I said that. Maybe the Holy Ghost just wanted me to say that. Amen. Because when you're in your trial, that is when we're going to realize, do you have knowledge or do you have wisdom? See, in a trial, you need wisdom. What God is saying in the scriptures is that when you're in a trial, you need to pray, God, give me wisdom to know what to do right now. Because when you're in a trial, you can start to go crazy. You can start to think crazy. In a trial, you can, when the pressure's on, listen, you can have moments of insanity. People have done things that they would never do until the pressure's on them. People have said things that they would never say until the pressure's on them. Some of you right now are thinking things that you've never thought before. You know why you're thinking like that? Because the pressure is on you. You're in your trial. You've got to pray, God, give me wisdom in this trial. I need to know what to say, Lord. I need to know what to do next. You know, in a trial, trials can be so confusing. How many have ever been confused? God, I don't know what to do. I want to do the right thing, but I'm confused. James is saying, listen, beloved, you need to ask for wisdom. You need wisdom in those trials. You know, many times people pray for exams. People pray, in prayer meeting, pray for my exam. And there's nothing wrong praying for exams. I'm not against that. Pray for exams, amen. I don't know, I hope you studied. You didn't revise, you didn't study, you just pray, like somehow. Oh, yeah, and God's just downloading the textbook in you. Oh, yeah. But if we pray for exams, which is nothing wrong with that, if we study and we do our best, we need to pray for trials in life because your trial is the test of life. You pray for a test for maths or science, economics. How much more should you pray for the tests of life? Pray, God, I need to get through this test of life. See, there are tests. Let me think of a few trials. There are financial trials. And when you're in a financial trial, money is tight, things are going on and you're struggling, you need to pray, God, give me wisdom in this time of trials. This financial trial, because you can downright lose your mind in a financial trial. You stop coming to church, financial trial. You'll start working somewhere you would never work. Move to another city, away from church. There's no church there. You know why? Because of financial trials. In a financial trial, you've got to pray, God, give me wisdom. Listen, the devil will prostitute you out. And I don't mean selling your body for sex. I mean that you basically, you will just sell out to the devil because of money. I don't have to sell out to the devil. My God will provide all my needs according to his riches and glory. God will provide my needs. But when I'm going through, listen, when you're going through some things, some financial trials, the temptation is to lie about a few things. The other day, I had a letter, had a few things. It's like all of a sudden, just a financial attack. And so I joined a gym about a year ago. Gym was whack. Whack as the day's long. It was rubbish. And so admittedly, it was like the cheapest gym in the area. And so, you know, I haven't got endless amounts of money. And so I was like, you know what? I'd move back from Battersea. And so I'd moved back to Thamesmead from Battersea. There's a gym. It said £12 a month. Amen. I should have known. £12 a month. What could they do? £12 a month. And so I went there. There was hardly no equipment. It was a joke. I would have got more workout lifting baked beans in Asda's. It was a joke. And so I went there once, I cancelled it. But when I cancelled it, in the contract, what they said was, you need to stop your direct debit. And so admittedly, I'm not the type of person that keeps looking at my bank. I know I've got direct debits coming out. And so I recently started to get more tighter on this. Actually, what's coming out? What am I paying for? I need to start to save more. I need to pull my belt in tighter. And so I looked and I'd realized for the last 5 months, they've still been taking that money out. And it wasn't 12, it was £19 a month. I was like, what? And so I rung up NatWest and I said to NatWest, listen, these people, they've been taking money out of my account. And so NatWest said, okay, no problem. And so they freeze the thing. They got back some of the money. And so the company rang me and said, no, you took the money out of our account. You should have told your bank that's our money now. So I only went to the gym once. And so they said, I owed them that £79. So I didn't really think too much of it. I'll call them later. The next week I got another letter. They said, now you owe us £100 and something. Because we put a £25 charge on that £79 admin charge. So I rung them up and I said, look. Okay, maybe I might owe you the £70, but I sure is not paying the £100. I said, you will not get one penny more. Either you accept this £70 or you're not getting nothing. And they tried to threaten me like, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And I said, nah, it ain't going to happen. I know the real deal. You can't get them people around my house. Like they're going to come around. Listen, let me tell you this. Don't muck about when it comes to rent. And don't muck about when it comes to council tax. Don't muck about with those things. You muck about with those things, them boy, they are coming around your yard. Listen, don't muck about. I don't muck about with my mortgage, my rent, the council tax. Because they're coming around. And pay your electric and your gas. But anyway, and so then I had another letter from another company. They said, now you owe us £170. So I said, no. Now I'm going to have to start writing some letters. And so I researched this company. I found out who the managing director was of the company. And I wrote them a long letter. And I documented the time I went in. I said, I was in there for half an hour. Divide to 170 by half an hour. How can you justify this? I wrote them a letter, sent it in, and they said to me, they was like, oh, Mr. Lowe, we're really sorry about this and whatnot. But the thing was this, as I was writing the letter, I'll be honest with you, something in me wanted to put like a lie in there. Can I be honest with you? Something in me wanted to say, yeah, but there was something that, and I was like, to build up my argument. To bolster my thing. Something in me said, put that in there. Put that in. And I said, no, I can't put that in. That's a lie. It's a lie. I'm being real with you, man. Those things come in my head. I said, no. And I sent the letter off. And Saturday gone, the head office sent me an email back saying, yeah, they squashed the debt. Done. Let me tell you this now. A side issue. Listen, you need to write letters. Learn how to write a letter. We're used to going down. I'm going to blow. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. No. They're just going to call police on you and charge you £300. Right. Learn how to write. What I'm saying is when you're in a trial, you're going to need wisdom. Relationships. Relationships can cause the deepest and emotional trials that you will ever go through. That you will ever go through. And in those trials, you're going to have to pray, God, give me wisdom. Because the devil is going to make you lose your mind. I've seen people lose their salvation. I saw there was a young lady in the church. She was dating a guy. It didn't work. You know what? She went out and just straight away slept with a guy, got pregnant. Lost her mind. Because in the trial, she had no wisdom. Can I say to you today, wisdom will bring you through temptation. Wisdom will bring you through temptation. I've been through some trials, financial, relationship, temptation. Proverbs 4 verse 7. Let me tell you what Proverbs 4 verse 7 says. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. wisdom. It says this is the first thing, the principle, the first thing. The principle, when you have the principle, is the first person, the boss, the top person. He says principle is the, wisdom is the principal thing. He says, therefore, get wisdom. And he goes on and he says, in all you're getting, get understanding. He says, when you're getting anything, get understanding. If you're going to get anything out of life, get understanding. He says, exalt her and she will promote you. He says, if you will exalt wisdom. And so the language is like an older man telling a younger man. So that's why he speaks about he and her. And so he's speaking in the language of imagining trying to speak to a young man. And a young man, in a young man's mind, one of the most passionable things about a young man, he wants the woman. But the Bible is saying here, listen, bro, before you start thinking about getting yourself a sister, get wisdom. Get wisdom. He says, exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. He says, you need wisdom. And so this is, the Bible is showing us in Proverbs 4, and really and truly, I urge you, read Proverbs 1 to 7. Just read chapters 1 through to 7, and you'll realize how the Bible is exalting wisdom. It's exalting wisdom. But this is what I found very interesting many years ago when I was reading. I was still a disciple in the mother church. But I see the transition here, and I had to join the dots because it's biblical. In Proverbs 5, verse 1, it says, my son, pay attention to wisdom, to my wisdom. Again, he's talking about wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion, and your lips may keep knowledge. And so here he's speaking about wisdom again. Excuse me. And so, okay, we've heard this before, but listen where he goes to next. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Think about what he's warning. He's saying here, he's speaking to people, and he's saying, he's speaking to this young man, and he's saying, get wisdom, because if you don't get wisdom, you're not going to be able to resist temptation. He says, if you don't get wisdom, he says, this woman is going to suck you in. He says that the lips of an immoral woman drip honey. You look at her and you think, oh, she's so sweet. I want her. I want some of that. Her mouth is smoother than oil. What it's saying is this is a woman who is a seductress. This is a woman that can pull you in. This is a woman that can draw you in, and you'll be sucked in by her honey and her smoothness. And as you're pulled in, you don't realize what you're being pulled into, because the Bible says that the end of it leads to hell. And it says the only way you're going to be able to resist this temptation, to get through this trial, to get through this temptation, is if you have wisdom. Because many a man has made a foolish choice because he had no wisdom. So he was sucked in, and many a woman, listen, many a woman needs, some sisters need some wisdom. You need some wisdom, because some of you picked that, hey, you need wisdom. Praise God. Leave me hanging there. In our text, he says, let him ask God. To get through a trial, church, you got to pray. Do you know, I believe that God allows us to go through some trials so that we learn to pray. Sometimes, you know what? If God was to give you everything you wanted when you wanted it, you would never pray. God would never see you again. God would never see you again. That if God was to give you that job that you wanted and everything was perfect on the job, God would never see you again. And God allows some trials on that job. Because you was destined to make that job your God.
And so God says, no, if I lie, I'm going to lose you. And so he'll just put his little finger in and just stir up a little bit. Maybe a relationship. Relationships start to go through some things and you go through some trials. You know what God's doing? He's going to make sure you don't make that person your idol. He says, when you're going through that trial, ask God. You got to pray. You got to pray when you're in a trial. Get down on your knees and touch God in that trial. Say, God, I need wisdom in this trial. Let me tell you this now. From the text, we learn and we get motivated to pray. Because what does he say? He says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all. Who gives to all. What he's saying is that God is a giver. Why is it that God's children do not pray? Do not get on their knees. Do not ask him. Do not come before their heavenly Father. When the Bible says that God is a giver, that God so loved the world that he gave, that God is waiting and anticipating to give you some wisdom. And you're going around in a circle in that trial, getting frustrated, getting angry, getting crying. God says, stop. Why won't you seek me in prayer? Why won't you get a hold of me? Why don't you seek me and cry out to me? Don't you know I want to give you wisdom? He says that if you ask of God, who gives to all, not some, he's going to give it to you. He gives to all. He'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. Look at your neighbor and say, he'll give it to you. He's going to give it to you. He gives to all. Not only is God a giver. Listen, you better know God is a giver, church. If you don't know that, you're going to suffer. That's why your prayer life is like, bless me. Amen. Okay, out the door. Because you don't realize he's a giver. But not only that, he says he gives to all. What does it say next? What does it say? I don't know what that is. Greek and Hebrew, Aramaic, Egyptian. Liberal, amen, man of God. Nathaniel there. Man of God. Man of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyway, let's move on. Let's move on. Listen. Liberally, you know what that means? Generously. Generously. God is not just a giver, he's a generous giver. He's like the type of person that just wants to lavish you. He's the type of person that wants to give you above and beyond what you've even asked. You ask for £10, he says it's £100. Oh, you don't believe that? Maybe that's not your God. That's my God. He gives abundantly. And when you get on your knees and say, God, I need some wisdom. He says, here's some wisdom, here's some blessing, and here's something else as well. That's the God that we serve. He is liberal. Are you praying to God? Did you pray today? Are you so frustrated today because you didn't pray today? Are you confused and bamboozled and baffled today? Are you in derision? Are you distracted? Are you going through things? Are you depressed because you did not pray today? Because you did not cry out to God? Because in your mind, God is not like that, what I'm describing. See, I'm getting excited. He says, he gives to all liberally. Without reproach. That's what it says in the New King James. Without reproach. I was thinking, I studied this. I kind of know what it means, but it's not just enough to me to say without reproach. When you study the word reproach, it means insult. And so, but it's more, I think the best way I can communicate it in a modern context is to say basically, God gives us, and he gives it to us liberally, without an interrogation. He doesn't interrogate us. He doesn't interrogate us. You know, it's very difficult when you have to ask somebody something, and you know when you go and ask them something, they're going to make a big thing out of it. You ever been like that? They're going to be like, oh, so you did? I've never felt like that. Like you need to go and ask somebody for something, but they're, hey, what? Hey. The Bible says that God is not like that. The Bible says that God gives to all liberally without reproach. He's not going to be, you don't deserve it. What have you done to deserve it? He's not going to do that. Because listen, if he was to do that, none of us could go to him.
None of us will go to him. He says, without reproach. He's just going to give liberally. You need some wisdom? There you go. You want some? Hey, what about you? Take some more. What about you? Yeah, you definitely do. There you go. This is how God is. If you're asking, he's just giving out wisdom. Hey, let me help you for this trial. He's not, what did you do last week? Where was you going? What was you looking at? What was going on? And you, he's not like that. The Bible is saying, come. God is saying, come to me. Come to me. You're in a trial. Why are you suffering in silence? You may be not suffering in verbal silence. Many times in a trial, we become very verbal, but not to God. Verbal to others. Oh, why is God? Verbal in the relationship. You. But we need to get verbal to God. We need to cry out to God. Listen, if you're willing to repent, God don't bring it up no more. If you're willing to repent, God says, come to me. You don't have, God, I'm coming to you again. And I know last week the Bible says God is not like that. God is not like that. Psalms 103 verse 13. Very encouraging passage of scripture for the children of God. It says, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. That's not pity like, oh, look at you, ugly little thing. No, it's not like that. Doesn't mean like that. Oh, she's trying. Well, never mind. That's not how he's saying. That's not the pity. It's more of a cherishing. It's more of like, he feels for you. When you're in your weakness, he feels for you. The Bible says, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He knows what we're made of. He knows what we are. He remembers that we are dust. Oh, my days. You're just dust. He remembers you're just dust. You know, sometimes when you've got kids or when you see children playing, you got to remember they're just children. Some children are just children. You know, people, I always say to people, when you bring your child to church, give them something to do. You know, don't just bring them there and expect them to sit here and listen to the sermon like they're two. Amen. They're children. In it, you've got to give them something to do. Now, obviously, we don't want them distracting the service, doing backflips, running around. But they're children. You've got to remember they're only children. Children are mischievous little things. That's just children. When I was a child, I'd climb and bite and scratch and kick and do everything. No, anything that was naughty, I would just do it. That's a child. And you've got to remember that. But the Bible says that God remembers that we're just dust. You may be here and you got the nicest skin. It's dust, sister. You may be here, bro, and you've got the biggest chest and a wonderful chiseled six-pack. It's just dust. I feel good saying that, amen. It's just dust. Keep exercising that dust. But it's just dust. God remembers what we are. We are just dust. Look at your neighbor and say, you're just dust. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen. Let me bring you in. We want to close. God, the Bible is telling us, pray. Not just pray to get out of a trial. Pray that God will give you wisdom to get through your trial. You know, when I've read this and studied this, can I say to you, church, this has helped me a lot. As your pastor, it helps me a lot. When I'm going through trials, when I'm counseling people and people are going through trials, and I feel it sometimes. People are going through things in their life, and I'm feeling it. I go home, and even sometimes my wife, are you all right? I was, I'm just thinking about so-and-so. I'm just praying for them. I'm worried about them. And God has really just taught me, Courtney, you know what? This is making you, bro. This is making you. This is doing something good inside of you. You are becoming stronger, wiser, better. You are becoming that. Wisdom. Let me close with this. Is the Bible, the last thing he says in our little text that we're breaking down, it says, and it will be given to him.
The Bible promises you will get the wisdom you need for that trial. The Bible says you're confused right now. It's difficult right now. You don't know what to do next. If you pray, the Bible says, I'm going to give you some wisdom. I'm going to show you what to do next. And when you get that wisdom, you're going to see clear in that trial. One of the worst things about a trial is the confusion. But the Bible shows us, listen, let me tell you this now. Wisdom lets you see in a trial. It gives you the vision. What I mean by that is that when you're in a trial and you don't have wisdom, it's all about what's going on now. When you're in a trial and you haven't got wisdom, you forget what God did in the past, how God blessed you and brought you through. You can forget about all those things. It's all about now. And you start to become filled with self-pity. You don't see anything. It's all about this trial. But when you get wisdom, you remember what God has done, what God brought you for, where God brought you from. And you can see beyond the now. What do I mean by that? Is that when you get wisdom in a trial, you'll realize, you know what? I am in a trial. Yes, I'm not talking about we deny it. I'm not in a trial. I'm speaking in faith. No, you're in a trial. That's not what we're talking about. I am in the trial, but with wisdom, I can see I'm still in God's plan. I'm still in his plan. I may be in a trial, but I'm still in his plan. When you have wisdom, you're in a trial, you can see God is not finished with me. How many believe that God is not finished with them? You're in a trial, but God is not finished with me. When you've got wisdom, you can see, listen, this trial doesn't change nothing. God knew this trial was coming. This trial was a surprise to me, but it wasn't a surprise to him. This trial, I'm going to get through this trial because God has already given me what I needed to get through. Wisdom lets you see beyond the trial. See what's on the other side. See, this is the problem. You're in a trial, and all you can see is the trial. But wisdom lets you lift up your eyes and see, hold up, I can see beyond this trial. I can see beyond this trial. What I mean is that you have a long-term view. You know, the Bible says in 2 Peter, I'm not going to read it, but you can read it, 2 Peter 1. You start to read that whole chapter, but one of the things Paul says, he says, if you lack qualities of Christ, you become short-sighted. Short-sighted, that's the word. He says, almost blind. What does he mean by that? Short-sighted. Someone who's short-sighted, they can only see what's right in front of them. Right what I'm going on. You can't see far. You can't see. Hold up. So right now you're in a trial. Ah, it's all about a trial right now. It's all about a trial. But God says, lift up your eyes. Realize, look. Wisdom will say, see, I'm going to come out. See, wisdom enables you to see a way out before you're even out. Wisdom enables you to see a way out before you're even out of that trial. It makes you see a way out before there really even is a way out. Not only does it enable you to see a way out, track with me right now, you see a way out, but it also, wisdom starts to reveal to you what you're going to look like when you come out, even before you're out. See, that's what wisdom will do. You know why? It's because wisdom allows you to see Christ in your trial. Wisdom. See, the worst thing to do in a trial is to lose sight of Christ. The worst thing that a Christian can do in a trial is to lose sight of Christ. When you lose sight of Christ, listen, I don't care where you are, what you're going through. If your eyes are on Christ, you remember when Peter stepped out of the boat? The disciples are in a storm. Jesus comes walking on the water. I love Jesus. Jesus could have just got in a boat and went to the other side. Jesus could have just got in a boat and waited and followed them. Jesus says, no, I'm not getting in a boat. I need to show them who runs things. That's why he went on the, he was showing them who runs things. And so he walks on the water, and so he's coming towards them, and so he's just bopping, and they see him, and they're like, it's a ghost. And Jesus says, no, it's I. It's me. It's I. And so they come, the disciples see him, and imagine there's a storm, there's waves, everything is going on, and Peter says, you know what?
Because Peter saw Jesus, knew who he was. He says, call me to come out to you, I'll come out. And Jesus says, come out to me. But the Bible says he didn't sink. He's walking on water. But as soon as he takes his eyes off Jesus, he starts to sink. See, it's nothing to do with the trial. It's who your eyes are on in the trial. Wisdom. You got to pray, God, give me wisdom that I can see Jesus in this trial. Give me wisdom that I can see Jesus in his financial difficulty. God, give me wisdom that I can see Jesus in this marriage or in this relationship. God, give me wisdom that I can see Jesus in this sickness. God, I want to get out. I want to get healed. I want it to get better. I want it to get easier. But God, give me wisdom in this trial. Singleness can be a trial. Ministry can be a trial. Parenting can be a trial. But we got to see Jesus in those trials. See, because when we see Jesus and we don't see a way out, when you see Jesus, he is the way. He is the way out. He is the way out. I may not have seen a way out of this trial, but if I see Jesus, then that's a way. Because the Bible, Jesus says, I am the way. If I see Jesus in this trial, I'm going through this trial, and you know what it helps me? When I see Jesus, I start to realize, you know what? I'm sharing a little bit in his suffering. See, listen, modern Christians don't talk about those scriptures where he speaks about sharing in his suffering. Yeah, you don't. I can see why modern preachers don't preach it, because the way you looked at me when I said it. Yeah, but don't change the subject quickly. Move on. You won't get no amens, pastor. If you want amens, don't say those things. No. Listen, you want to be like Jesus. You want to be like Jesus. You need to be willing to share in some suffering. When you're going through your trial, you start to realize, wow, I'm becoming a little bit more like Jesus. I'm being a little bit more sanctified. I'm becoming a little bit more humble. I'm becoming a little bit more patient. I'm becoming a bit more generous. I'm gaining a little bit more empathy. It's making me better. We need to be praying, church. God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. If God is telling us to ask him, we need to ask him, have you asked him today?